opportunity to hear from heaven. These great people, they did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, dear Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for a word in season to them that are weary. Thank you, Lord, that today my teaching and preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. Father, I thank you that according to Hebrews 4:2, that this congregation and those listening by internet, Father, they will receive your word, they will mix it with faith, they will bring forth fruit, and their fruit shall remain. Glory and honor, they belong only to you. Thank you, Father God. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with this say, amen. We have four core values at New Day. Please repeat after me. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
Okay,
we're going to conclude today's series of Forward. This is part three, Forward. And Forward, really the emphasis here is that you're living a heaven-focused life, heaven-focused life. Our scriptural text is Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 53, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It's on your handout there. You can follow along on the screen or with your device or with your Bible, okay? Luke 9, 51 through 53. Verse 51 says this, now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, speaking of Jesus, that he steadfastly set his face, to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, say his face.
His face.
And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Verse 53. But they did not receive him, speaking of the Samaritans, okay? They did not receive him because his face, say his face, was set for the journey to Jerusalem. So today's message is Forward. Jesus' face was set. His face was set. Isaiah chapter 50 speaks of his face being set like flint. And Isaiah was, this was a prophetic word about Jesus Christ that was, he was going to be coming. But this was written about 800 years prior, speaking at this is how it was going to go. He was going to be focused, forward focused. He knew what his intention was, his purpose was, and he was not going to be distracted. And many of us, we don't finish our race. We get thrown off because we get distracted. First couple of song, praise songs we sang today were really a blessing. It really spoke to that. You know, that we have to focus. We have to focus. And I want to read that again for you, okay? Verse 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, meaning it was time for him to go to the cross. That was his purpose. That's why he was here on this earth, okay? That he steadfastly set his face. Set his face. And that literally means to set. It means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. To be unwavering. Unwavering. You have to make your mind up. And for many of us, we don't have a made up mind. Our minds are not made up. Our minds are not made up. We haven't decided. Remember that old 100, my mother would say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Here we go. No turning back. No turning. Many of us, we keep turning back. We keep looking to the side, looking to the right, looking to the left. Everything is getting our attention. Jackie and I have a little joke, and this because of the way she's wired, and she'll be focused on something, then she'll see something else, say, oops, shiny object. Just something will capture her attention. And that's in a silly, comical sense. But in life, a lot of us, that happens. And you know, I've taught you before, pay attention to what gets your attention, because what gets your attention gets you. To turn resolutely in a certain direction. What direction do you need to be in? And you got to make up your mind that you're going to be unwavering. Now, here's the thing. Let's look at verse 53 again, okay? Verse 53. But they did not receive him, speaking of the Samaritans, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And this is funny. He's coming through Samaria, and you guys that are going to Israel with us in April, we're going to visit this, go through this region. But Jesus is going through Samaria, and he sent his people ahead of him just to make everything ready. And they're telling everybody, you know, Jesus is coming. And the people want Jesus to stay with them. And you're going to encounter people that's going to want you to do what they want you to do. And you got to make your mind up. And what I do is I make my mind up ahead of time how I'm going to respond. Contrary to popular belief, not everybody likes me. There are some, they just look at me like, I can see in the eyes, I just want to smack Pastor Tony. Okay, it happens. And I recognize that, especially within a church setting, that those few that I've really encountered, and this is it, and I see it happen with people, they like to find a small church, and they can come in and be a big fish in a small pond. And then they get close to me, and they recognize, oh, he ain't going to be moved. He might be small, but he got his mind made up. He ain't no punk. He ain't going to be played. I'm forward focused. Now, you got an agenda. You got some, you trying, you know, some insecurity. You need to be somebody. You need to be recognized. You need to be celebrated. So if I come in here because I'm smarter than everybody else and I'm richer than everybody else, I know more than everybody else, and I got a degree, I'm the only one with a PhD, I'm going to come up here, and I'm whatever your reason is, and you come up in here, then you get your feelings hurt. And what happens is you get your feelings hurt because I'm forward focused. I'm heaven bound. I got to run my race, yes. Not yours. Not Pastor Diego's, not his. He's my buddy. I know him well. Know him well. In fact, we were hanging out a couple of times the last few weeks. I'm going to see him two or three more weeks. That's my friend. I'm not trying to run with your bishop where you came from. Not at all. Not at all. Not Major. Who was your pastor? I'm forget. Major? Really? Okay. Not. Yeah, that's right. Duh. Right. Major. Right. I'm getting y'all confused. I'm not trying to run from Pastor Ed, Bishop Ed, at all. At all. Your pastor from Hawaii. Not at all. I've been on his website. I've seen him. That's a bad man. But good. He's a righteous man of God, bad man. Man of the spirit, amen. But I'm not competing against him either. I'm set. My face is set. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm on this planet. Pastor, why are you going to Costa Rica next week? My face is set. I'll be meeting with over 200 pastors. Got three different training sessions. Pastors. We want to impact all of Latin America. Or I can just stay with you guys and sing Kumbaya all day and right here on this corner in Corona. And no, I have a global mindset. Where did it come from? That's my calling. Well, my other pastor didn't do that. That's his calling. This makes sense. So the Samaritans, sometimes people try to get you off your game. And here's the thing. They don't mean no harm. That's why I can smile at them. I have a family member. She does that. It's just every time I look up, she's at a different church. She lives in a state. And so anyways, but it's like, oh, I'm over here. And every time, it's a church of about 60 people. And after a while, well, they don't receive me. They don't. Well, you got to go in and support that man's vision. And if you don't, you know, I go in churches where they don't speak in tongues. I don't get up there in the pulpit and try to convince them to start speaking in tongues. Outside of me and the pastor want to have a conversation, let me share with you my experience. People don't mean any harm. Most of them don't. Some of them evil. Some of them straight from pit of hell. They are. They are. And you can discern who. But you got to make your mind up. You got to make your mind up. Jesus' face was set like flint. It tells Isaiah 50. And here in Luke, when it finally manifests 800 years later, he's like, okay, I got to go do what I got to do. And for some of us, we just are easily distracted. Turn to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I want to talk to you about how do you set your face, okay? Pastor, you're telling me I need to set my face. How do I do it? Glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews, this is an excellent example for us. It's still speaking. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 and reading from the New Living Translation, but I need to give you a little background on Hebrews, okay? So in the New Testament, okay, beginning in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are what we call the Gospels, okay? Those are four books, and they tell the story of Jesus when he was on this earth. We just read Luke, okay, and that mentioned about he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. So we have four different writers who wrote, like, the life of Jesus, okay? After that, we have the book of Acts. Acts is really about a good 30-year period of what happened after Jesus went to heaven. The apostles, those that he raised up and released to go and do ministry, and it tells some of the different stories, some of the miraculous things that happened. That's the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, is what the apostles did. Now, one of the subsequent apostles was a guy named Paul. Okay, his first name was Saul. He had an amazing experience, and his name was a supernatural experience, and his name later on was changed to Paul. Well, Paul, what he would do, he would start churches, but then he would write letters to the churches. So he wrote a letter of Romans to the letter Romans. That's a letter to the Romans. Corinthians is a letter to the Ephesians is a letter to the, and these are saved people, and he's giving them instructions. So these are what we call epistles or letters. Amen? We understand? Okay, now you look at Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians. Those are churches. Those are what we call Gentile churches. And a Gentile church is like us, a church that's non-Jewish. Anyone that's not a Jew is a Gentile. You can be a Native American, you are a Gentile. You can be an African American, you are a Gentile. You can be from Belize, you can be from, I don't know, Chile, Argentina, you are a
Gentile.
Everybody understand that? Now, here's something special about Hebrews. Hebrew, the book of Hebrews, was written to Jewish people who had received Christ. So it's a little different flavor in it than what you're going to see the letters written to the Gentiles. So when you guys are doing your Bible studies, at least you got to understand your audience and who the letter is written to. And you're going to see a different flavor when it goes that way. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So let's get into this. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. And remember, this is written to Jewish people who had converted and became Christians. Amen? Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, I got to give you the backstory. So you guys, almost every one of you know, understands football. We just had the Super Bowl. So think more of a high school stadium, okay, a stadium, and 9 times out of 10 it has a track around the football field, okay? And, you know, that's where the track meets are held. And if you can imagine, there are people in the grandstands, and with this reference here is older people, people who had died, people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Moses and old school prophets and everybody from the Old Testament. The writer is saying here to Hebrews, saying, imagine them looking down and watching us run our race. Great cloud of witnesses. Does that make sense? Okay, got that image. Okay. Verse 1 again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let's do these two things, okay? Now, here's the thing. The first one is, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. First thing, if you're going to be focused, you're going to be forward focused, and set your face, you need to strip off every weight that slows you down. Now, you think about a person running track, and I like watching, especially 100 meters, 200, especially 100 meters. It's just, I enjoyed it. What's the dude from Jamaica, Bolt? That dude be bolting, okay? Just, you see them all set, and all of a sudden, boom, and they all take off. Notice they're hardly wearing anything. They don't want anything that will slow them down or weigh them down. I need you to think about that for a moment. Think about it for a moment. That will distract you. If you're serious, it's going to distract you. Let it settle in. Second thing, especially the sin, say sin. That's not something we really preach about much anymore. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, see, if you came to me, we're at the hospital, and I went down to the cafeteria, and I asked Ebony and Jackie, did you want anything? And Jackie said she wanted a Kit Kat bar, you know, a little candy bar. I want a Kit Kat bar. I don't ever care to eat a Kit Kat bar. A Kit Kat bar doesn't tempt me. But them peanut M&Ms was calling me. Kit Kat, no, whatever. I can be hungry and won't eat a Kit Kat. I can be full and see them peanut M&Ms and find room. So we all got something that's going to trip you up. There is something that gets your attention. Fellas, you can be in a small crowd room, but somehow you can just see that one. To everybody. And sisters, y'all the same. But the thing is, you don't even know why you find that, him or her, attractive. Heidi, that was wrong. Okay. That's funny. Funny but wrong. Okay. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Old school King James says those besetting sins, those sins that beset you, the sins that just get to you. And here's the thing. One of the reasons you still fall and pray to it is because you haven't even examined why you're attracted to it. And see, for most of the sin, it's fulfilling some kind of void in your life. And that void is straight or alive from the pit of hell. Because I'm going to tell you something. Let's say you're about to go do your sin. I'm caught up in it. And I have a 9mm gun, and I walk up to you, and I said, sit down. All of a sudden, that sin goes out your mind. You ain't thinking about that sin no more. You don't think about how long her hair is, how big her... Let me stop. Okay, so... And all of a sudden, you will sit down. Your thoughts just shift like that in a heartbeat. So why do you need my 9mm? You can decide without it. Right. And one of the ways to help you decide is like, why do I find that so appealing? What is it about that? It just grabs my attention. And generally, it's because it makes you feel something. You don't even know what it is. I feel good. Well, why do you feel good? What's so good about that? Why does it really just, what is that? And for fellas, most of the time, it validates us in our manhood. It does.
What's my name? Say my name. Say my name.
Why do you need to hear your own name? You already know what it is. It's on your birth certificate, on your driver's license, car registration. Why do you need to hear her say your name?
Ms. Elvia said, who's your daddy? Okay, so I don't know about that one.
Where's Mario? I don't know.
Okay. You have to. And then see the other thing, too. Let's flip it around. Because on a sister's, the female side, the thing is that, oh, he likes me. This means he wants me. No, he doesn't. If it wasn't for you, it would be Sally. If it wasn't for Sally, it would be Sarah. If it wasn't for Sarah, it would be Susie. No, he doesn't. And see, things like that, and that's an extreme, but things like that trip us up. You know, I was grew up in a Baptist church, and it's not an indictment against all Baptists, but my God, fornication and adultery just run rampant. I know what I'm talking about, because I know I can name you 30 pastors right now that's guilty of it. And I don't know how you're going to, if you forward focus, set your face, then why is she getting your attention? So your face is not set, and we're supposed to be Christ-like. We need to do what Christ did. And I know it's hard for some of you guys, because some of you guys caught up in some stuff right now. But my prayer is that you will be delivered. That's what the whole deal is. And see, the thing is that you keep messing with it. You don't know. Okay, Lavelle, I need Isaiah 50, and I don't know what verse, the very last two verses in Isaiah 50. I'm going to charge y'all for this one. Okay. Isaiah 50. If you guys swipe, turn, write this down. Okay. I need you to see this because this is how we get caught up. Old Testament, Lavelle? There is. Okay. No, go all the way to the last verse. I don't remember what it is. Wait. No, 9. Do 9. Is that? No, it's 10. Go 10. It's 10 and 11, I believe. I'm telling y'all to turn. I should turn myself and solve this, right? 10. I need 10. Okay, here we go. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servants? That's like a question like, hey, check yourself. Who? Which of you? It ain't rhetorical. It's like, it's really, stop. You got it. Who is there listening to the man of God, what he's saying today? Watch this. If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, and that's a lot of people, you're going to be sitting in church doing that. Trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Now, I ain't relying on God because I feel something. What you feel? Next verse, please. Watch this. 11. But watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. That's what a lot of us do. Oh, this is what I feel. Well, I feel like busting somebody in the head. That's why Mike Tyson is one of my favorite boxers. I like Floyd Mayweather, but he just kind of dances around. He's all, okay. This ain't no track meet. Dude, fight. That's just me. Some others appreciate the sweet science, and they enjoy Floyd, okay?
I want to see him engage somebody because I'm old school, okay? Okay? I don't know. I'm just the hood. And that's my, but I got to be mindful. If I'm going to be a man of God, one of the things I can't be is violent. I can't go off on people. Does that make sense? I can't. So I might feel this way, but don't mean I got to behave that way. So here's the thing. You live in your own light. Because when I confront you about something or challenge, say, hey, you want to consider this? And when you do this, and you when you feel that little just that, when you inhale and you get that resistance, you got to ask yourself, what are you in resistance to? The truth? You are so intent on keep doing things your way. You need to set your face. You live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is a reward you receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. And because what happens is you haven't fallen yet, you think, oh, okay, I'm okay. See, the thing is, you're going to wake up one day and all of a sudden it's going to be there. And that's when life, you're going to come and try to find Jesus. That's when I get those text messages. All hell is breaking loose. Well, see, you buy an umbrella before it starts to rain. Get a prayer life before hell breaks loose. And I hope you find this message encouraging and uplifting and edifying. I hope you really, like, I ain't mad at nobody. But a lot of stuff we go through, we don't have to. It's one thing when the Lord is leading you and allows you to experience something and you know, and he's growing you and testing you and proving you. It's another thing when all hell is breaking loose because you keep making bad decisions. Is that making sense? Is that making sense? Please hear my heart. You live in your own light. You got your own philosophy, your own way of thinking. Based on what? You've been on this planet, what, 40, 50 years? What do you really know? You think you've got some because you went to a college, sat in a class, took some tests, and they gave you a piece of paper? Now, I got a piece of paper, too. I got a couple of pieces of paper. In fact, I got some other papers this week. I finished some certifications. I like papers. But the papers, that's I'm not compared to God. Come on, y'all, for real. You live about your own, like, your own reasoning. So I had to take this mind of mine and throw it, chunk it, as we said in Louisiana. I had to chunk it out the window. And Lord, I got to appropriate Christ and how what your word says, not my feelings, not my philosophy. Does that make sense? Yes. All right. No charge on that one, okay? Okay, let's get back on the handout. Hebrews 12. Yeah, Hebrews 12. Here we go. Hebrews 12. Verse 1 again. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, that's how we should be living, life of faith. Faith is trusting God, leaning not to your own understanding, okay? Watch this. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. One thing that slows us down is our thinking, our beliefs. It get in the way of what God wants to do. Some of you guys know you're connected with a person. I'm not talking about you unmarried people. You're connected with somebody. You know it's wrong and ain't right. Just look up. Where's that relationship headed? Be honest, where's it headed? If nothing changes in your thinking and his thinking, nothing changes in your behavior, where will you guys be in 2 or 3 years? So you got to ask yourself. And then most people say, no, I'm not cool with that. We're going to be in the same place. It's going to be worse. Well, then what are you willing to do about it? Hey, people say they're willing to change, but change is hard. You so comfortable with yourself, even though it's wrong, because you're familiar. So that's why you keep behaving the way you keep behaving, even though it's not working. Let's keep reading. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Not somebody else's race, your race. Your race, the one that he's given you to run. And you got to run it with what? Endurance. That's why I learned to watch the pace I run at, even spiritually. You know, if it's a marathon, so I can't, you don't run a sprint like you do a marathon, okay? So even in this thing called life, I'm watching the pace I run at. Now, I'm not talking about physically running. I'm talking about mentally and spiritually. I'm mindful of what I can take on and what I can't. Verse 2, this is what the writer says. We do this by keeping our eyes on Sally, keeping our eyes on Tom, keeping our eyes on, no, Jesus. Who are you looking at? I told you what gets your attention gets you. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith, completes our faith. Watch this. This is how Jesus set his face. He knew that was joy awaiting him. And I shared that with you guys last week. There's joy awaiting me. I know it is on the other side. What is your goal in life? For most of you, it's to please somebody. Because if they're happy, then I'm happy. You got to think bigger than that. That's low-level thinking. Next level, please. Joy awaiting him. Next thing, he endured the cross. Endured the cross, yeah. He endured the cross. Let me ask you, what is your cross? What's the thing you need to die to? What's the thing you need to die to? I made fun, but like for Jackie, it's Kit Kat Bar. For me, it's the peanut M&Ms. What is that thing you need to die to? Next thing is, he disregarded his shame. Some of us, we're so mindful of what people think of us. You know, before Adam and Eve fell, it says this, they were in a garden, they were naked and not ashamed. And many of us, we got shame. I think in May, I'm actually doing a whole series on shame, and I'm calling it Shame Off Me. Look, here's the thing. We take on this shame. We're worried about what people think. You know, they messed up just like you messed up. People consistently tell me, we ain't never seen a pastor more transparent than you because I ain't worried about what people think. I messed up. So what? I'm a human. God redeemed me just like he redeemed you. I'm nothing special. No superhero. I have no magical, no superpowers. I can't leap a building in a single bounds, outrun a locomotive. None of that Superman stuff. I can't do any of that. Can't. So then, it's going to become a weight that's going to slow me down if I always need to tailor to everybody and everything they're saying and doing. Can't do that. That's it. Now, here's the reward. Now he is seated in a place of honor besides God's throne. Verse 3, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. You got to endure some stuff. Jesus did. You're going to have to also. Then you won't become weary and give up. If you think about, you know, Jesus went through this. So I ain't going to get weary because people tripping. And that's what really makes us get tired is people. People. Verse 4, after all, you have not given up your lives in your struggle against sin. So let me close with this. We go through to get to. You got to keep that in mind. I'm going through, but I'm going to get to. That's the whole deal. I'm going to go through to get to. Now, what is your set? What is your face set for? You got to ask yourself, look within. Time to just check yourself for a minute. What is your face set for? What is that focus you have? What are you focused on? And see, you can't, until you name it, you can't tame it. You got to identify it. And many times we just going through life just happy, not no clueless. What is it about this that's invigorating me? And you recognize it's usually just keeping you stagnant. You're not moving forward. That's why 2019, for a lot of people, going to look just like 2018, even though they made those New Year's resolutions. The second thing you got to ask yourself, who are your weights? Jesus had the Samaritans. You can have some good people, but they're self-centered. Self-centered. It's about them. Now, I want to flip it just for a second. Whose weight are you? Who are you slowing down? Who are you tripping up? Last one. What is causing you to grow weary? Let me tell you this. When your motivation is self-centered and self-serving and promotion-oriented, you're going to open yourself up for offense. See, when you come to a church and all of a sudden it's still about you, anytime you get in a situation where it's about you, it's dangerous. Because then you're going to get offended. The thing most of us have trouble with is dying to self. We talk about sacrifice. Abraham, God told Abraham, sacrifice his son Isaac, okay? Now, they built an altar. If you think about, man, I don't know, here's a better one. Okay, you guys, everybody going to barbecue this summer, okay? Or you're going to do a cookout or something. Now, you're going to get a nice piece of steak, a good ribeye. That's what I love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what Jesus ate, ribeyes. I'm just playing. That's some good eating. If I took a ribeye, threw it on a grill, a preheated grill, it's going to go psss. But if I threw the ribeye on a grill and it jumps off, it's still alive. And for many of you, when you find yourself in a situation and you jumping, you're not dead to whatever that is. And as long as you're not dead, you're going to get offended. Satan's going to get to you. You got to learn to die to self. We had a couple tell me, say, Pastor, you know, we feel led to go to another church. Not a problem. So I met with them. We sat down. We talked. I said, look, when we see each other, stay the brothers. You ain't got to duck and hide and all that. I ain't getting offended because you want to go somewhere else. Because my identity is not tied to you coming to this church. My self-worth. My face is set. I'm heaven bound. I ain't getting distracted. When I step across that line and look up in my Savior's face, and he said, Tony Dunn, what did you do with the gifts, talents, time, opportunities, relationships I've given you? I can say, Lord, here's these pastors in Costa Rica. Lord, here's these pastors in Zambia. Lord, here's these pastors in South Africa. Father, here's this church in Brazil. Father, here's this in the Philippines. Father, here's this church in Beaumont, Texas. Father, this is one in Chino. Father, this is one in Riverside. This is the one that you gave me in Corona. Or I can just sit here and hold Dwayne's hands with me. We just kumbaya, my brother, just kumbaya. No, no, no. You got to set your face. Set your face. Set your face. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, it's a living thing, and it will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish that which you please, Father. And we're